1 year ago tomorrow, the Islamic extremist group ISIS scored a big victory in Iraq and caught the world's attention when its fighters took control of the northern city of Mosul, a city U.S. troops fought to keep from insurgents in the Battle of Mosul in 2004. Mosul isn't the only city to fall to ISIS. 9 years ago, American forces surged in to save Ramadi. Just last month, ISIS took Ramadi an hour and a half north of Baghdad. Yesterday, President Obama acknowledged that his administration still does not have a comprehensive plan to defeat the group.
When a finalized plan is presented to me by the Pentagon, then I will share it with the American people. It's not, we don't yet have a complete strategy because it requires commitments on the part of the Iraqis as well.
ISIS has effectively erased the border between Iraq and Syria. It's beheaded Western hostages and untold numbers of Syrians and Iraqis who've crossed the group. And it's inspired an unknown number of militants to commit terrorist acts here and abroad. So what would a comprehensive plan look like? We've rounded up two analysts. Shadi Hamid is a fellow at the Brookings Institution's Center for Middle East Policy, author of Temptations of Power, Islamists and Illiberal Democracy in a New Middle East. Shadi, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Douglas Ollivant is a retired Army officer who served in General David Petraeus' brain trust in Iraq. He's a senior fellow in the Future of War Project at New America and a partner in Manted International. That's a consulting group which, by the way, has business interests in southern Iraq. Douglas, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
And let's start with you. The U.S. is launching a new effort to retrain Iraqi forces to retake Mosul. But we just heard the president say, you know, they don't have buy-in from the Iraqis. That's why they can't have a comprehensive, complete strategy. You've written that it's important to note that Iraq has to invite the U.S. So your thoughts on the fact that there isn't a comprehensive, complete strategy yet?
Well, I think we still need to get everyone on the same page. I think in the big picture, we do have a strategy. We know that the U.S. strategy is for Iraq. Now, Syria is a different matter.
Right,
but the U.S. strategy for Iraq is to help the Iraqis militarily in terms of equipping, training, providing intelligence, and providing air power. So we want to help them defeat ISIL. We need to help them keep Iraq together. And optimally, we want to keep Iraq Western-oriented rather than oriented on Iran.
Well, and by the way, when it comes to that arming and helping the Iraqi forces, you say we've failed in Ramadi, not because of the strategy, but because of the execution of the strategy.
That's certainly my assessment. I think we had a major failure in Ramadi in that ISIL used a known tactic. They've been doing this for some months now, of using armored car bombs. So car bombs drive up. You can't stop them with bullets. You need anti-tank missiles. This is a known. They've been doing this in the north against the Kurds for some months now. And the Kurds, perversely, have these missiles. Despite their complaints, they don't have equipment. The Germans provided them with anti-tank missiles, and they've been using them quite successfully in the north. So we have both a known tactic on the part of ISIL, and we have a known counter-strategy. You use missiles. Yet there were no missiles in Ramadi. To my mind, that's a failure of the equipping effort and something that we need to do better.
Well, Shadi, I want to bring you in here, but Douglas, I just want to point out one detail you share. I mean, some of these car bombs are as big as the one that Timothy McVeigh used in the Oklahoma City bombing. These are huge.
That's right, and it's the exact same technique. You know, they fill it full of fertilizer and then pour gasoline over it to turn it into explosives. Exact same material Tim McVeigh used and in trucks of almost the exact same size.
So, Shadi, Douglas, they're saying maybe it's the implementation of the strategy more than the strategy, but you say that the strategy that the U.S. does have, the U.S. has a plan, just happens to be a bad one.
Exactly. I think many of our starting assumptions are problematic. Really, over the past year, we've had what I would call an Iraq-first strategy, and that's pushed us to neglect a reckoning with the Syria part of this. And we have a gaping hole in our approach to Syria. The news just came out recently that we've only trained a couple hundred fighters as part of this $500 million effort. I mean, quite frankly, that's embarrassing. And it shows that a year after ISIS took Mosul and really came on the American radar in a serious way, we have really nothing to say about Syria. Mm. And I think that where ISIS and even Shia militias see Iraq and Syria as a combined theater, We don't. We separate between them, and that puts us at a profound disadvantage.
Well, is that because, I mean, but weigh in, Shadi first, can anything be done about Syria?
Yeah, there can be, but this administration has no interest in getting more involved in Syria, and that's really been the problem since day one, 2011. I mean, there has to be a much bigger financial commitment beyond $500 million. We have to talk not about training hundreds of fighters, but many thousands. But I think also, what do we do about the Assad regime? And it's been troubling for me to hear a lot of talk about this kind of de facto cooperation with the Assad regime as a lesser of two evils, when in fact, Assad has been a big source of the problem, that his brutality has pushed many Syrians towards radicalism and extremism. So we have to – the problem here is that this focus on short-term tactical gains has prevented us from a long-term approach.
Now, Shadi Hamid of the Brookings Institution, stay there for 1 second because Douglas Ollivant, a retired Army officer, I want you to weigh in as well. I mean, do you think that it's just more money, more training of insurgents in Syria and maybe – just not partnering with the Assad regime, which everybody winkingly thinks the U.S. is doing, is there a path there in Syria?
Well, I don't disagree with Shadi that something ultimately has to be done about Syria in order to defeat ISIL. The issue, of course, as you bring up, is we don't really have any good options when it comes to Syria. In Syria, well, let's back up to Iraq. In Iraq, we have options because we have partners. You know, we have the Iraqi army, although there are obviously some flaws with that, but there are still tens of thousands of soldiers there. We have the Kurdish Peshmerga. We have the Sunni tribes, although working with them is still difficult. We have the Shia militias, though, again, they're not a perfect partner. They're there. They're a capable fighting force. When it comes to Syria, we just don't have that. You know, in Syria, the major armed groups that we're faced with as possible partners are, you know, the Ba'ath Party, Al-Qaeda, and, you know, ISIL, obviously not a partner. Those are primarily the three groups there. We've tried to generate moderate opposition, but it's not there today. We can have an argument about whether it might have been there 3 or 4 years ago, but today we simply can't seem to find moderates to train and partner with.
Well,
so I think we're doing Iraq first because we're hoping that success in Iraq might change the dynamic in Syria and provide other options.
Yeah.
And I think that is the hope.
Well, Shadi, you know, the advisors are – that's a word that resonates. You know, how many U.S. troops should be involved in this, in retraining Iraqi forces, in guiding them in taking back these cities? I mean, and how – when do those advisors turn into boots on the ground?
Well, that's where I would draw the line. I don't think there's any stomach for that. And I think talking about boots on the ground is just going to further – alienate public opinion and distract us, I think, from the things that we can and should do.
Well, Doug, I just got to jump in with Doug. Doug, do you agree?
Totally agree. I mean, okay. I wrote about this recently. You know, when we have U.S. policymakers talking about what sounds on the Iraqi street like the reoccupation of Iraq, or for that matter, dividing up their country, or for that matter, senior officials saying that their army can't fight. You know, these make it very hard for our allies in Iraq to portray themselves as American allies when America is perceived as wanting to do one of these things, reoccupy Iraq and or break it up.
Yeah. Well, Shadi,
totally agree with Shadi.
Yeah. So, Shadi, keep going there.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing about this issue of moderates, and I've actually moved away from even using that word moderate because it seems odd to me that fighters who are dying for a cause in a place like Syria, why exactly would they be moderate? Mm-hmm. The context of civil war pushes people in a revolutionary or radical direction. There are forces besides ISIS and besides Al-Qaeda. We might not share their values. They may be Islamically oriented Islamists of one sort or another. That doesn't mean we have to support them, but we have to acknowledge that there are groups in between, and some of them are making gains. They don't have to be nice, fluffy liberals for the U.S. to be okay with them, at least okay with them playing a role in Syria. We have to be realistic.
Well, and Doug, just we have about a minute here. How important is it to get the Iraqi government to buy into all of this? They have to buy into having moderate. This is a Shia government, and they have to buy into getting moderate, if I can use that word, Sunnis, to fight extremist Sunnis. If that doesn't happen, are all bets off?
Well, first of all, it's not a Shia government. It is a unity government. There's a Kurdish president. The Sunni Arab speaker is actually in Washington, D.C. as we speak. The minister of defense is a Sunni Arab. So it's not exactly a Shia-led government. That said, it still does have issues in bringing everyone together. Although, again, it's probably perversely one of the best sectarian-led governments in the region.
Right. And just very briefly, I want to ask you just for a one-word answer. Shadi, how many years will it take to beat ISIS?
Well, I think the question is not ISIS, but ISIS and whatever follows it. And I think we're talking we have to think about decades here that there will be something after ISIS, even if we defeat them.
Shadi Hamid of the Brookings Institution, Douglas Oliphant of the Future of War Project at New America. Thank you both for your thoughts
Thanks, Robin.
On fighting
Thank
ISIS.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Here and Now.